want to read a text here this morning in the 61st chapter of Isaiah. And I'll read parts of the first two verses to pick up the thought that I want to work on this morning. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I want to return this morning to the thought we were discussing before we were interrupted by Christmas and New Year's. So on the principal theme of the three spirits in the world, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of man, and the Spirit of the devil. I know the Bible says there are many spirits in the world, but all of the many spirits are operating under one of these other spirits, the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the devil. So the three principal spirits are the Spirit of man, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the devil. We have some marks up here on the board to show this, and it shows that man stands directly between the other two spirits. The Spirit of God on the one hand, the Spirit of the devil on the other. Man is a creature of choice, but he must choose. He has one choice, he must make it. He cannot remain neutral, he must make a choice. He has one power over his own spirit, and that's to yield it. He cannot retain the control of his own spirit. He must yield it one way or the other. If he yields to the devil takes control of his spirit. And the principal elements of the kingdom of Satan is fear, force, and coercion. When people yield to him, he takes charge of them. Sometimes we hear people say, well, they see somebody do some dastardly deed, and they say, well, I'd never do that. I never would do a thing like that. And the devil, just standing off to one side with his old fiendish grin, saying, I'll show you who's boss around here. You do just what I tell you to do. And he drives people. Note how he drove Saul. Saul on one occasion went into a cave. He was seeking David. He was out on a mission to destroy him at that time. And he went into a cave where David and his men were hid. And he laid down in there and went to sleep. David slipped around and took a sword and cut off a part of the skirt of his robe and left. He got off out there and made some kind of a noise and woke him up and held up this piece of his robe that he had in his hand, and he said, I could have killed you right there, but said, I wouldn't do it. Said, I wouldn't touch God's anointed. when David got through talking to him and he saw that David had been right there and had him in his own power and could have done what he wanted to do, he said, "You're a better man than I." Said, "I've done you evil and you've rewarded me good." Well, he went away from there thinking that he would never pursue David any further. But he was under a master that was driving him, and just a little bit later, here he was right back up there after David again, trying to destroy him again. That's the way Satan works. He drives people. And he controls them. If a person yields to God, they become a servant to God. But they're love slaves. And they serve him through love. And he never employs the principles of fear, force, and coercion on any soul. You still have the right to choose, and any time you see fit to choose to take yourself out of God's hands and yield yourself back to the devil, he'll let you do that. He leaves you free. Well, I brought a couple of messages about the bondage of Satan and sin and the effects that it has on people. And the effects that it has had on this world. I'm going to begin this morning, by the help of the Lord, to work our way out of this enslavement and this entanglement. The good news I bring you is that there's a way out. Whatever your problem is, this morning we had the memory verse in the Sunday school, the 9th chapter of Zechariah, the 9th verse. "Be glad and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, thy king cometh just and having salvation." And I was struck, like I haven't been before, with those words, "having salvation." Jesus had salvation when he came down to this world. He is salvation. He is the changer of lives. He is the deliverer. And the good news that I bring you this morning is that through Jesus Christ and his salvation, we hear the song sung sometimes, beautiful song, "Salvation has been brought down." And that text says Jesus had salvation, having salvation. He had it. He had it to give, to impart. And he gives salvation to everyone who will accept him and believe in him. He is the great deliverer. He is the great turnarounder. Turning people around and bringing them back to what they ought to be. And I started to say, I'll say it now, that in the salvation that Jesus brought down, it's an all-encompassing, all-prevailing salvation, and there's provisions in it for everything that plagues you and hinders you and is a detriment to you in living like God would have you to live and receiving the fullness of his divine blessings in your life. Provisions are made in this salvation that Jesus gave for everything, for the removal of everything out of our hearts and lives that are contrary to us and contrary to His will and detrimental to us in our lives, whatever it is, whether it's sin, whether it's a weakness in our disposition or in our nature, whether it's a fault in our behavior, whatever it is, He's made provision for its removal to set us free from it. Now this text says that this is a prophecy concerning Jesus, and says that the Spirit of the Lord God anointed Him to preach liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Bound in sin. Prison is a place where people's liberties and freedoms are taken away from them. And they are confined in a prison. Jesus came to set us free and to bring us out of that prison and restore us to our liberty and freedom in the gospel. The gospel of Christ and His salvation never enters people's lives to restrict them. Amen. It comes into people's lives to enlarge them. Amen. Expand them, increase them. And to release them from the restricting, constricting forces that the enemy of their soul has imposed upon them while they served Him. Salvation is the way of liberty and freedom. Now this text does not mean that when Jesus came and salvation was brought down, all the prisons were opened up and turned all the criminals loose on society and all that kind of thing. That isn't what He's talking about. The psalmist said in the 142nd Psalm in the 7th verse, "Bring my soul out of prison." Now, a soul in prison is robbed of its liberty and freedom just as much as a person convicted of crime is sent to prison and robbed of his liberties and freedoms as a citizen. Bring my soul out of prison. We have a text in the 3rd chapter of 1 Peter, verse 18 through 20, and it says, Christ has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also He went and preached to the spirits in prison, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. Spirits in prison. And a minister was sent to them to preach to them. Spirits in prison. Bring my soul out of prison. That's what we're talking about this morning, is the liberating of the soul, the release of the soul out of the prison house of sin. And in Noah's day, they were all in the prison house of sin, and the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead was in Noah preaching to those people salvation in their day. Amen. Their spirits were imprisoned. Souls imprisoned. Jesus came to liberate those souls. to set those souls free. In the 42nd chapter of Isaiah and the 7th verse, he's speaking here again, a prophecy concerning Jesus and his mission in this world. And he says, verse 7, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Jesus came to bring out the prisoners from the prison, not the criminals, out of the jailhouses, but the people imprisoned in sin and enslaved by the devil and sin, to bring them out from under that. And them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Now, you're not only in prison if you're in sin, but you're in a dungeon, in a dark place. Oh, the darkness that fills the soul of him that is in sin. How dark it is. How dark their way. The song says, how dark my prison house of sin. No light there. A dungeon. The thraldom of sin is a kingdom of darkness. It says in Colossians, the 1st chapter and the 13th verse, that he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. The devil is spoken of as the ruler of the darkness of this world. Ephesians 6 and 12. The ruler of the darkness of this world. His work is darkness. Jesus said, he was telling the Pharisees that he was dealing with in that particular case in the 22nd chapter of Luke, and they were accusing him and railing on him, and he said, well, I was daily with you in the temple and I was teaching there and no man laid a hand on me. It wasn't his hour yet. But he said, but now this is your hour and the power of darkness. This is your hour now. That was my hour. When I was in the temple and when I was teaching the people and carrying on my work, that was my hour. And my time hadn't yet come for this, but we're down here now. We're to this point. And this is your hour and the power of darkness. The power of darkness was taking over then. And these men were activated by the power of darkness and the ruler of the darkness of this world. And Jesus said, that is taking over now. We're down here. We've come to this time. That was my time. Now this is your time. Your time is the power of darkness. Again in Isaiah, the 49th chapter and the 9th verse, he says that thou mayest say to the prisoner, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourself. Now here was a people that were in prison and also in darkness, in a dungeon. That's a sad state to be in. I've read some about these Christians in Russia and the persecution that they undergo, and for any infraction of the rules, They'll either be whipped. If it's a lesser infraction, they'll be whipped. If it's a greater infraction, they'll be sent to solitary confinement. And they're there for 13 days, and that just about breaks anybody. The thing that they endure while they're in that solitary confinement just about breaks anybody in those 13 days. But God sustains those Christians, and they come back out of there rejoicing and happy and going right on doing the same thing that got them in there to start with, knowing that for their preaching and for their praying and for their telling others about God and salvation, that's what got them in there. They'll get right back in there again. But they're like Peter was. We cannot help but tell the things which we have seen and heard. They've got a driving, impelling force deep down in their souls that just makes them testify for Jesus and glorify God, even though they know they're going right back there into that state and condition that no ordinary man can stand up to. It'll just about break any of them. Now here he says, that thou mayest say to the prisoner, go forth. That's what the Lord's saying to everybody this morning. Go forth.
Amen.
Get out of this. You don't have to stay in this. You don't have to stay under that power. You don't have to be bound by this, that, or the other, or hindered, or hampered, or harassed, or hurt by anything. Just go forth. I've brought salvation. Salvation has been brought down. It's down here now. It's within reach of everybody. And everybody that will believe in Jesus and accept Him as our Savior, He'll give them salvation. He has it. It's His. He said salvation is of the Lord. And He'll give it to anybody that will accept His terms of salvation. To them that were helpless and hopeless, light and hope sprung up. Someone came proclaiming to them, go forth. I've come to liberate you. I've come to set you free. Go forth. You can go forth now. The way is opened. In Zechariah the 9th chapter and verse 12, he said, turn ye to the strongholds, thou prisoner of hope. This, even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Thou prisoner of hope, you may be a prisoner. You may be bound with something. Something may have a power over you. Something in your nature, in your disposition. There may be a fault that's prevailing perpetually in your life. There may be a victory you need to gain. There may be deliverances that you seek. And you may just plain be in the prison house of sin and need deliverance there. But however hopeless and helpless you are, and things have been in your life, Jesus with His salvation comes offering you hope and light. And he says, even today I declare unto you that I will render double. I'll give you double. We have a text in the 40th chapter of Isaiah in verse 2. He says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. How's that sound? Double what? Received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. But double what? Double judgment? No. Double mercy. In Isaiah 61:7, he says, in all the land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. Double. Double measure of joy for all the misery and bondage and servitude and harassment and everything that has plagued your life, for giving that up, a double portion of joy for every sin you traded off. How many sins did you have? How many did I have? I don't know. I couldn't count all of them. Bud Robinson said when conviction seized him, he said it seemed like his sins was just swarming around him like a swarm of bees. Somebody else said when they were convicted of sin, it seemed like that it's just like all the chickens come home to roost. Everything settled down on them. Folks that think they're pretty good people, when they get a conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit, they're not going to think they're all that good. They're not going to feel that satisfied about themselves. They won't feel so secure and so safe. Those sins will just all come converging right in there on them. God will just be showing up to them the sinfulness of sin and what sin is. And that's what I pray for folks, that God will convict people deep enough that sin will become exceeding sinful to them, and they can see the sinfulness of sin, and they'll be made to resent and detest it and denounce it and flee from it and humble our hearts and break their spirits and surrender their hearts and lives to God. Now, said he's going to give double portion of joy and gladness for all your sins. Trade me your sins, I'll give you a double portion of joy and gladness for every one of them. Can you beat that? Do you know a better deal than that? People shy away from God and trying to do business with Him, and they're afraid to approach unto Him. I don't know anybody offers you a deal like that but God. I call that a good deal. I'll give you a double portion of joy and gladness for every sin you trade off. Now you can't beat that, folks. And I thought about dealing in doubles. When you get to dealing in doubles, things count up pretty fast. They really... Somebody came into the office where I worked one time back in Kansas. Just walked up and said, Willie, would you hire out to work for a man for a penny the first day and double it every day for 30 days? And I just thought kind of quick, and first day 1 penny, second day 2 pennies, and the third day 4 pennies, and the fourth day, 8 pennies, looked to me like it's going to be quite a little while before I'd get in a dollar a day. I said, no, I don't believe I'd do that. He said, well, all right. And tended to whatever business he had to tend to and walked out. And just for my own entertainment, I sat down with a pencil and paper, and I thought I was going to see what that would amount to. And I sat down 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, and on down the line for 30 times. And I told it up, and I was the most surprised fellow you ever saw. Could you guess what it come to?
Millions.
What?
In the millions.
Yeah, better than $2 million. And all the time I was doing this, the Lord was talking to me about this double seed. And in all the land they'll possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be to them. And I thought, well, my trading off my sins, and I had many of them, not just a few, but many, trade every one of them off for a double portion of joy and gladness. And then I finally come out at the conclusion, I thought, well, no wonder the Apostle Peter said, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It just goes on out of bounds when you get to trading in doubles. But he said, turn to the stronghold. That's Jesus. God's word said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and are safe. He's the one that has salvation. Salvation has been brought down, but it was brought down when Jesus came.
Yeah. Amen.
And says, turn to the stronghold, thou prisoner of hope. If hope and light has broken in upon you, follow the gleam. Go right on. Even this day, he said, do I declare unto you that I'll give you double. Double. Double joy and gladness for every sin you trade off. That thou mayest say to the prisoner, go forth. Jesus is announcing that to everybody. Go forth out of that constricted area you're in. Go forth out of that restriction that's holding you back when you want to go forward and pulling you down when you'd like to rise. Those weaknesses, those faults, those lacks in your disposition and in your nature, and those sins in your life, whatever they are, just go forth. I've come with salvation. Salvation's been brought down. The prophet said, he comes to you just and having salvation. Thou mayest say to the prisoner, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. Darkness. Dreadful thing. Darkness is a dreadful thing. Fearful thing. This kind of darkness. Matthew, the 4th chapter and verse 16 says, the people that sat in darkness saw great light. And to them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Hope has come. Not only in a dungeon, but on death row. How hopeless the man feels that's condemned to die, and how dreadful a time he spends down there on death row. And that's where many people, that's where the most of the people in this world are today. They're on death row. Them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, light sprung up, hope came. Salvation's been brought down. Jesus came down having salvation to give to everyone that would humble our hearts and accept Him. Death row. There's a sentence of death on everybody that is under Satan's power today. They're on death row, waiting for their execution. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes. Now, I don't have time to deal with the next thought conclusively. I couldn't even get it introduced very well. So I'm going to break at this point and ask us to stand and sing a song and be encouraged with the message that Jesus gave. Say to them that are in prison, go forth.
Yes,
and to them that are in darkness, show yourself.
Yes.
Light and hope has sprung up when salvation was brought down.